sir?
Christopher Gutierrez.
Okay, if you hold on one moment, the Honorable Miss Gail Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. Mr. Gutierrez?
Yes.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Christopher Gutierrez, 284-559.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on January 2nd. You signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Or you can represent yourself. So which is it today, sir? Did you hire an attorney or will you represent yourself?
I'm representing myself.
Thank you. Okay. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. Normally, you'd be able to see us on the Polycom, but it's not working today, we understand. So we have in the room the Honorable Lee Quinones, the Honorable David Moore, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. Thank you, sir. We also have in the room representing the Department of Corrections and also representing the parole officer, the Honorable Mr. Westby.
Okay.
I need to swear the both of you in. So, Mr. Gutierrez and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm?
Mr. I do.
Thank you.
I
Mr.
do.
Mr. Westby, thank you. Mr. Gutierrez, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked.
So,
Mr. Gutierrez, I'm going to read these two allegations to you, and I'll need you to respond as I finish each one, whether it is true or false. So this will start phase one. The first allegation is you were in violation of condition 12C, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to complete and attend CHC classes. Mr. Gutierrez, is that true or false?
True.
It's true? Okay, sir. And the other allegation is you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about June 13, 2018, as directed on June 12, 2018, per a written report letter. At that point, you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Gutierrez, is that true or false?
It's true.
That's true? Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Gutierrez's admission, then I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Neal and Mr. Quinones. Okay, back to you, Mr. Gutierrez. We're moving to phase two of your hearing. And before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information. So just stay on the phone. We'll be right back in a minute to ask you some questions and talk some more.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Westby.
Mr. Gutierrez was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on September 29th, 2017. He was arrested December 7th, 2018 by MCSO. On a new felony charge of theft of means of transportation. He was back in custody. Hold on, I'm going to pull up the state here. It's not showing up on the report. He was back in DOC custody that same day, December 7th, 2018. His adjusted community supervision end date is July 8th, 2019, with 163 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, dangerous drug violation, 2.5 years. 2013, burglary, second degree, 3.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term of DOC. CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There is no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs noted. However, after his return to DOC on January 3rd, 2019, he received disciplinary for refusing to program or report to a job assignment. His other arrest, 2019, 2009 marijuana violation, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2010 marijuana violation, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has numerous other drug-related charges. However, those charges were either not processed or dismissed. His criminal risk score is a G1B2, and I do have a note that no charges were filed by the county attorney for the new felony charge of theft of means of transportation.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. Valtierrez. We have a written summary of what occurred while you were on community supervision, and it looks like you were originally approved to live at 1325 West Apache in Phoenix. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and who lives there?
My mother.
Oh, that's your mother's house. Okay. All right. And did you stay there the whole time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Were you working?
Yes, sir. I was working under the table with one of my uncle. I was looking for jobs. I did work at Jack in the Box. I had like two or three more jobs.
Well, that's good. What were you doing? What kind of work with your uncle?
We did sheetrock. We were doing walls, drywall, and sheetrock, everything. Remodeling houses.
Oh, that's a good skill to have then. Okay, so you know how to do sheetrock. Okay.
Yeah, I took a lot of classes while I was incarcerated for electricians. That's what I was trying to go to the electricians union. I was just trying to make enough money to get there.
Yeah, that's a great job to be an electrician. Okay, well, I'm glad you were able to use something that you learned while you were in prison.
Yes, sir. I had never had a job a day in my life until I came to prison, and I learned the whole trade I can do. I'm pretty good at it, but nobody was trying to hire me unless I had some kind of experience, background experience.
But that's always a tough one. They won't hire unless you have experience, and how are you going to get experience unless they hire you?
Exactly.
So that's how it goes. All right, well, good with that. I'm glad you you have a job, or you have some good skills, and I bet you'll get a job as soon as you get back out.
Yeah, they're waiting for me. I was working when I got arrested. They're waiting for me. My job is still open.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's good. So it looks like you were also responsible to submit some urines for task, and there were a couple that you failed to submit, but I also see a couple here that were positive for cocaine. So what was going on there?
My mom has terminal cancer, so when I got out after doing the 5 years, I came out to nothing, like I had nothing, and I kept trying to struggle. I was struggling, and I had my kids, the mother of my kids, she kind of had enough. My kids are 14 and 13 now, and they're grown men, and she was living by herself, and she's married though now with two other infant kids of hers, so she kind of just dropped them on me, so I had to take responsibility. I'm the only one born in the United States out of my family. My mom's a U.S. citizen. And one of my brothers, he's passed away already, and my other brother's deported. My mom, I was the only one my mom depended on taking her to all her appointments. The reason why my classes that I didn't go to my classes, I stayed 2 weeks in the hospital with my mom. My mom doesn't have nobody to take care of her. I was the only one. There's nobody, none of our family is in the United States, and nobody can really do nothing. So I was pretty much her caregiver, plus taking care of my kids and trying to keep a job. Like, it all hit me, it just hit me as being too much at one time, because being in prison, I know we don't have much responsibilities in here. They pay our rent, they pay everything. And when it all got hit in my face at one time, I wanted to get away, and it was a big mistake of mine that I committed. But I still dropped, I went to go drop UA knowing that I was dirty, just to ask for help. After dropping dirty, they sent me the sanctions. I spent the week in there. I came back out. I did everything, did my best. I was doing good, man. Doing good, sir. The reason why I stopped going to classes, too, is pretty much the reason because of my mother and my kids that I had to take them to school, pick them up from school, take my mom, and so, everything. And it just hit me, too. It hit me hard.
So,
and,
Mr. Baltieros, where are the kids now?
No, they're back with their mom, and my mom gets them on the weekends, and my ex-wife, she has them. They stay at her house. She has her own apartment, and that's where they stay.
Okay.
And my mom's the one that.
Are they pretty close by each other, so it's not a hardship for them?
They're close by. It's just like my mom, so she has lupus and breast cancer, and it's already too much in an advanced stage.
Okay.
And it's hard for her to go and drive, and my ex-wife doesn't have a, because of her husband, he doesn't like me, so he doesn't want nothing to do with us, so they don't have a car, so sometimes it's hard. I haven't talked to my boys since I got incarcerated again, and I was supposed to pick him up. I got arrested on a Friday morning, and Friday night I was supposed to pick him up. And it just hit me, but I was doing good. Like, I just went to work, and I had my mom, and I got scared to leave everything at once. Like, I missed the two classes on the third time week that I was supposed to go. They told me that they had already, they took me off the roster. Right. So I panicked out then and there, and I was like, man, I already messed up. Like, yeah. I was trying to turn myself in. I just wanted to spend the last Christmas with my kids, because, like, this last Christmas, they didn't have nothing. They were sad. Like, I heard that my kids were, they were helping their cousins and their nephews, opening their presents while my kids were there just watching. Like, it hurts. It hurts, man. And I know it's all my fault that I'm in here, and they're suffering because of me, because of the parents, because they're just children. But my mom can't provide for them as much. She still works. And
so, Mr. Montez, did you contact your parole officer?
I tried calling her. I tried calling her a lot. Like, they always told me that she wasn't there. I left her plenty of messages. Ms. Borrego, like, my classes were in, I stopped going in May, I think, the 12th of May, I think that was the last class that they told me when I went, and they told me that I was in the roster, and I kept calling her, like, I knew my parole officers from a long time ago, and right. I tried calling her, like, her parents, like, everybody, like, try to see, like, if she could help me out, like at least to try to help me, that I know I messed up, but if there's any way I can fix the problem that I just committed. But she never went to my house. Parole never. After I stopped going to classes, that's when I thought I was already had a warrant. But my warrant didn't kick in until November. This is from May to November. So I thought I was already on the run. I was just going to work, staying home. Like, I was waiting every day. Every day I woke up with, like, waiting for them to come pick me up. But Parole, like, was supposed to see me that month. She never showed up to my house. And, like, they never came. Like,
okay, so what were you doing when the MCSO picked you up?
Well, that morning?
Yeah, it looks like no charges were filed, so there was a new felony possible, or car theft. What were you doing that day?
No, that's what they were saying. The car was not stolen. They were like, I don't know what it was. They were telling me, like, why do you have that car? That car didn't belong to me. It was my friend.
Whose car was it?
It was my, to be honest, it was my parole officer's brother's car. And he took off to Las Vegas. He left it there. He told me I can borrow it because of the situation I was in. But I was not stolen. The car was not stolen. That's what they never charged me with, because it was never stolen. They were just saying that in the neighborhood I lived in, that nobody had a car like that. And especially the house. My mom's house is, it's still an adobe house. Like, it's the oldest house on the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that the car didn't belong there, so I must have stole it. Where did I steal it? They kept grilling me on where did I steal it. Mm-hmm. And I told him it's not stolen. I have the key. The key's right here. Like, I'm not in the car. I didn't drive it. It wasn't even in my property. It was across the street where he had left it at. But they just kept it. They just blamed me.
It was your parole officer's brother's car?
Yes.
Were you friends with him?
Like, we knew her. I was friends with her brother. That was my mistake. Like, even knowing, not even saying anything. Like, I had a parole officer at first. And we were doing perfect. Like, I would go to classes. I finished my substance abuse classes when I got out because of the Senate bill that I received upon release. I finished all that. I was doing good. My parole officer was helping me until they switched me to a new parole officer. And, like, she hated me right off the bat because I knew, because she doesn't like her brother. I don't know what problems they have between them. And, like, I felt like she would take it out on me. Every time I see her, she would yell at me. And, like, she treated me bad, like, super bad, and I kept, like, trying to avoid all that and do good.
Mr. Baltiers, our indications are that you were referred to SAGE, and that would have been the Senate Bill 1291, and that you missed classes on May 22nd, 15th, 8th, and you were discharged from the program.
No, I went, as soon as I got out, I was ordered to go to the substance abuse. I have my certificate, like, I completed it, but they wanted me to do it again, and that's the classes that time they were charging me. I had to do them three times a week, 2 hours a week.
Okay.
Before, the first one that I completed was 2 hours 2 hours a week for 2 days a week, and now I never missed it. I always went. I got good reports from the teacher, the lady that was attending the classes.
Okay.
And I graduated. It was just after I got the 30 UA, they wanted me to start it all over.
I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to see if there's any indication. Did Mr. Valtierrez graduate from the SAGE program, and then they made him take it again?
That's what I'm trying to look here to see if there's anything out here as far as SAGE.
It's just unusual. If you graduated, they would make you take it again.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm seeing about CHC. I'm not seeing about, I'm trying to see here with SAGE. Frederick successfully completed SAGE counseling 1-8-18.
Okay.
Attended 23 group sessions. Okay, so they showed
that
he completed it. But as far as having him take it again, I'm not seeing anything. He was done with his classes. In April, it says not attending any treatment classes at this time. Let me go ahead and click on to more recently here. And then when he had his staffing for testing positive for cocaine, he said that he had used maybe a month ago and was advised that it only stays in your system for 3 days. Then he was referred to, the offender was to attend substance abuse counseling in either SAGE or CHC CAP. Treatment shall be at the discretion of the assigned parole officer. At that point, it looked like, okay, he had his, been checked with MRC staff, so he went to MRC for a sanction, and is still not seeing anything. He was discharged from MRC in 4/29/18, successfully completed the sanction, and then where CHC came in at was on May 1st, he reported to the office, and it says here,
we don't have any mention of CHC.
It says on here, just did not attend CAP program on 5/15/18, currently has missed a total of 2 sessions and attended 0. So I'm not seeing anything on here,
okay,
any further information about SAGE, just about, and I know it isn't listed on the warrant here, but that was where he was supposed to.
To CHC, not SAGE.
It says on here, referred to CHC on May 1st, 2018 for substance abuse. So he completed a section of MRC, but per his previous staffing, he had to attend classes for relapse prevention, seeing he relapsed on cocaine, at either CHC or SAGE. He was referred to CHC on May 1st, 2018 for substance abuse. On May 16th, there's a note that said he did not attend the CAP program on May 15th, 2018. He currently has missed a total of 2 sessions and attended 0. And then there was May 29th, 2018, did not attend group on May 22nd. He has now missed 3 classes on May 8th, May 15th, and May 22nd, and exceeded the number of allowed absences.
And but that was from CAP.
That was CHC CAP.
Okay,
program.
So the mistake in the warrant is it's saying he missed SAGE classes on May 8th, 15th, and 22nd, and what it should say is he missed CHC classes.
That is correct.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so we cleared that up, Mr. Valtierrez. It was just, so you just listed the wrong program on here, on your warrant. So that explains it. I just couldn't figure out what the heck that meant.
Yeah, because my first classes when I got out were on 16th Street in Indian School.
Right.
I live on 15th Avenue in Buckeye, and then the next classes were like on Northern and like 67, it was super, super far.
Oh,
I tried
yeah.
to switch them over to where I was closer, but
okay,
they told me I couldn't do that.
So you kind of answered this question, but you were missing for 163 days from supervision. Why
yeah,
did you not that, stay in touch with your parole officer?
That's when I started going to the classes, and I missed the classes when I tried to go in there, and they told me that I was off the roster anymore. So I thought I was already like on the run. Like I said, man, I already violated. I had just got out the MRC, And I was doing good, like I had my job, everything was going good.
Okay, sir.
And I just missed those classes.
Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions for you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Valtier? Okay, Mr. Valtier, we're coming up to the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. All we ask is that you not repeat something you've told us already. You've shared a lot of information, so is there anything else you've thought of the board should consider, sir?
No, sir. I know I committed it. I didn't go to my pro and everything. I tried my best. Everything hit me over the face. At one time, I have total remorse of what I did. All I need to do is go back to my family, and I was gone for 5 years. I don't want to lose everything that I accomplished over the year that I was gone. I got to do another extra 6 months. My pro was over. It's supposed to be done on January 17th of 2019. Now I have to stay here for another 6 months. I'm engaged right now with my girlfriend currently, and she's 6 months pregnant, and she's living at a shelter right now because of the situation that I'm in right now, that I can't help her and she can't work. I'm sorry for doing what I did, and I was doing real good when I first got out until reality hit me and I had to man up and take the world back, and I did, and I was doing good. I just knew I messed up, and I was trying to turn myself in. At the time, my mom's still real sick, and I can't do nothing from in here, and I'm the only one that can provide for her. If there's any chance you guys can grant me the release back, I'll do my time. I'll go to a halfway house where I can stay and to help. I'll have a prove up income with a job and everything. I'll do my best at everything. I can't do much. I got a lot to lose now if I stay in here. My mom can die any day pretty much. And I just ask you guys for some leniency or something. I don't know even what to say. I'm just super nervous. And
okay.
That's about it, sir.
Okay, Mr. Baltierz, thank you. The board is going to hold a discussion. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just stay on the phone and remain silent. And we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The board's now in discussion. Now, Mr. Baltierz was out and has learned some job skills in prison, was able to use those when he got out. Unfortunately, he was having to take care of his mother, who's ill, and his two sons, and says he got overwhelmed and succumbed to using cocaine again. And because of that, then he absconded because he was afraid, thought he was revoked. I think that's kind of the nature of life, is that things pile on top of, and we're all here to be problem solvers, but I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision because of the cocaine use and the absconding, but I would listen to thoughts of fellow board members. And seeing no comments from fellow board members, I'm going to make a motion based on information and more at 2018W3369 for conversation with Mr. Baltierz, information from Mr. Westby. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Baltierz was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 163 days, during which time his officer could not monitor his activities, and also for using cocaine while on community supervision.
Second. Agree.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded. Was it Mr. Quinones?
Yes, ma'am.
There? Okay. And agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Baltierz, I know that's not what you were hoping to hear this afternoon, but the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, so it's just very hard to overlook when someone absconds for 163 days. We certainly, you have a lot of issues, a complex set of problems to figure out, but we certainly wish you the best. You were showing you a release date of July 8th, sir. At that point, you won't have a parole officer anymore. Use this time, if you will, think about using this time to attend NA classes, if you can do that. Get a plan together for addressing, where you're going to live when you're released and all of those other actions. You say you have your job, I think, still available. We certainly wish you the best, sir, for a safe transition back to the community. Your hearing is concluded, sir, and we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone back to the CO3.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baltieri.